online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hi guys, welcome back to the Foster's After Show. This is After Buzz TV. We've got an onomatopoeia-filled show for you tonight. We're talking about Now Hear This, and we're very excited to say that we have the Judicorn in the flesh. Yes. Hayden, welcome back.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, thank you. If you guys have questions for Hayden at home, you can tweet at us using the hashtag ABTVF. And as always, you can subscribe to us on YouTube, on iTunes, leave us a comment there.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, let's pick up with some quick intros. I'm Jeffrey Masters, a tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I am Jillian Leff. I tweet from at Jillian Leff.
Hey, y'all. I'm Hannah Pritchard, and I tweet from at the Hotshot Dude.
And I'm Stephanie Georgie, and I tweet from at Stephanie Georgie.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about first? Any, like, new, I don't know, kisses?
Oh. Something new? I mean, I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Can we build momentum?
I want to talk about, obviously, Brandon and Lou's kiss.
Of course. What else kiss would we be talking about?
Was there another one?
All right.
So, stop.
I think so.
So I think Jillian pointed out while we were watching it that everyone's been talking about Brawley all season. But Johnner, oh my God, has so many fans.
Hashtag Johnner all day.
I'm telling you, like, I know the Brawley fans are fierce, but Johnner kiss was trending yesterday when I was trying to avoid all of the spoilers.
Yeah, right?
And I don't know, like, they're coming in hot for me. I'm like, maybe I'm Team Johnner right now.
I
might need to take a break from Brawley since I know it's not going to happen.
Well, just for the meantime.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Everyone is on a side of Team Brawley, but I don't think anybody's against, like, Team Johnner.
Oh, right. No.
I don't think anyone. How could you be against Team Johnner?
Yeah.
Who would do that?
Right? Like,
I think that everyone should be on Team Johnner.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, it's been like such a slow-moving process in, like, the best way possible. How long have you known this is coming up?
Not very long. It took us a long time to get to this point. You know, for me, portraying this character and Gavin portraying this character was a long process that took some time, and it took a lot of talking. So, I mean, it was basically like I knew about it when they said, are you finally okay with this?
Wow.
So once I had come to terms with myself and I was comfortable with portraying this role of a gay character since I'm straight, I basically figured out right there that they were going to write that in.
Yeah, so when you say talking, is that with the creators, like Brawley and Peter?
Yeah, that was talking with Brawley and Peter throughout basically not the entire show, but a lot of the second season and a little bit towards the end of the first season. They had always been asking me how I felt about it, and they wanted to make sure that I was comfortable with my own sexuality before they started playing with Jude's. And it was a process that took some time, but in the end, we've obviously decided, and it's going to look great.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's so important, too, because, you know, I was reading up a lot on what happened last night, today, and I think I read somewhere that this is the youngest male-on-male kiss on television?
So they say, yeah.
So they say. So you're part of
history. Yeah.
Right?
Huge.
It's very cool. It's incredible. It's an honor to be a part of something so serious and something very big. I mean, it's changing the world, and it's making differences everywhere that is very important and that need to be made.
Pride, absolutely. I love that even all the girls who have crushes on both, you know, Hayden and Gavin are like, we can't help but want this to happen also.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they might not want it, but they're like, this is just Team Johnner all day.
Yeah, they're like, Hayden's mine, Gavin's mine, but they can, you know, Jude and Connor can be together. That's okay with me.
I think it's cool that also last year it won the GLAAD Media Award for Best or Outstanding Drama Series, and yet it's still like pushing that forward to be like, yeah, we still have work to do. I have a lot of like older blogger friends I was reading, and they were like, we wish this was on TV when we were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just nice to like keep normalizing it, which the Fosters has always done a great job at.
Yeah. Well, they were even talking, they touched on this episode about profiling and stereotyping, just that little exchange that Lena and Steph had, you know, sort of stereotyping the lesbian character. And I think it's important because, you know, when we met Jude, it was so long where everything was sort of up in the air. And I think as viewers, we're so excited to take that journey with you.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, honestly, like, the thing that I can't get out of my head, though, you know, you said you've come to terms with, you know, the whole thing and where your character is going, but you're really good friends with Gavin outside of the show. So how did you guys sort of work that out?
I mean, it was interesting. It's not easy to, you know, be straight and kiss someone of the same sex and then have it be your best friend is a little bit awkward as well. Mm-hmm. But Gavin and I always find a way to make things fun and light off set, and you know, we're both very professional, so I mean it's what we're supposed to do, and we know that it's making a big difference, and that's important to us, and that's important to others, and that's something that really, I mean, when you think about it, it doesn't matter what you're really doing, it's just something that you have to do.
And both you and Gavin are artists now. I mean, you're wanting to portray something real, and everyone got it. We were talking about how gnarly your attention was, and just even the way that Gavin was looking at you. That was so crazy. I was like, oh my God, I wish I was a gay boy right now.
We were even saying how the tension between, you know, we were always talking about tension between Brandon and Callie, but it was
palpable.
Electric. Crazy. This episode. I was like, when you guys were on the ground after you fell, I was like, got like a little flustered. I was like, wow, like,
oh my
this
gosh,
is
so cute.
No, yeah, I know. It was a very heated moment. And then and the fact that there wasn't really physical contact, that's even better. I mean, that's like the Notebook kind of a thing. Like, just the look. How did you guys get the look?
Yeah, it's like, you got it down. It's perfect. It You're great. Perfect.
Also, we finally found out that on the camping trip, there was a kiss.
Yes.
That they even referenced.
Finally, we've been trying to figure out what happened on that camping trip forever.
Jude said, you know, he was like, oh, we had some girls in tent. And no one believes him. They're like, oh, Jude's lying. There's no way that happened. Can't believe it. And they sniffed us out, man. They got us. Yeah. And they caught us red-handed. And we finally figured, you know, you guys finally figured it out and found out that they were the ones that kissed in the tent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I loved Steph's line about kids are so much freer to question themselves now. And you might have a different perspective on this, but I think it's important to note that the show is not labeled Jude or Connor as being gay yet.
Mm-hmm,
and so
right.
It's important to know that, like, you know, they're questioning things. And, like,
right.
one... like same-sex kiss doesn't make you gay, and
that's
like
true.
It's still like a part of the like timeline
discovering it and figuring it out. Absolutely.
And I love so much that the creators and the writers worked with you all and asked you all personally how you felt. I had no idea that they did that, and I think that's amazing. What a cool experience for
you. Yeah, it was very kind of them to do, you know, to just throw us into that situation when we're not necessarily comfortable or
absolutely.
Aware of it is something that is, you know, is
well, more
different.
So also, I like that you said that they were wanting to focus on you being comfortable with your actual sexuality, because that is important, because I could imagine that being very confusing, doing it just for something and then maybe thinking about it afterwards, but better that you know it so that you can go into it and just be at ease.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
You're a special one, Hayden.
You are
the unicorn. Hello.
Of course.
Shine bright like a unicorn.
Yeah.
do we think that Jesus knew what was going, that there was a kiss in the tent?
That was my next question also.
Because he made that reference.
I think that Jesus is one of the, like, as I know that you aren't biological, but he definitely plays the brother part where he's like, I know my little brother.
Yeah.
Like, Jude, you know?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he's got a feeling. He's just kind of sees it in him. You know, some
or
people might see
it
that
in
way.
Connor more.
That's true. You know, that Connor may show those signs a little bit more than Jude does. And so he kind of sees that and notices it whenever he's, you know, hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we have a fan question. Jonathan Mangan wants to know, how many takes was it for the kiss?
Well, you know, there's different setups. I think there was three. So I would say 10 or 12, maybe. That's three.
Wow.
That's three setups with four takes each. So it took a fairly long time. You're not kissing someone once and then you're done. It's multiple times.
Yeah, it's drawn out.
Yeah.
I mean, we believed it.
Definitely.
I didn't think 10 times. I was like, oh, maybe they did it three times. Angle, angle, angle. Like, Wow.
And I kept waiting for you guys to go back in. I was like, okay, so we're going to keep kissing, right?
We're going to keep going,
we're
right?
We're going.
That's the next part. Come on, they're
yeah,
kids.
Exactly. Oh, pens are flying. This was not a Brandon and Lou situation, okay?
Yeah,
this was the first kiss.
We had that, like, juxtaposition this time.
This is
time.
What it discombobulates him a little bit. I apologize,
everyone. Oh, you're fine.
No, but speaking of fan feedback, I mean, just using the ABTVF hashtag right now, just love is pouring in. You know, the kiss made history. You're wonderful. Team John are all the way. Like, how do you feel hearing such positive feedback? Because you live tweeted last night.
I did live tweet last night. And being able to see that so many people said so many different things, but they were all in a positive way, was something that was incredible to see. You know, that everyone was happy with this and that they, you know, they enjoyed seeing this and were, you know, very accepting of this new thing that is now something that we see a lot more than we used to. So I think it was incredible to get all the positive things that people said.
Yeah, and I'm definitely on Team Connor, John, I want to be clear. But I really love Taylor.
I like Taylor too.
She's so cute and intelligent.
But just as like a character, I don't want her for Jude.
Oh, I want to see more of her.
Maybe a little later.
I think her and Jude would make wonderful friends.
Exactly.
I think that Taylor might know that something's up.
Yes.
And
she's
going to
be that good friend.
I mean, I am not going to look at Hayden's face right now because I saw him smile. But I do think that, you know, maybe Taylor will be able to help Jude through some of this confusion
Absolutely.
In future episodes.
The figuring out process.
I mean, like, you were straightforward. You know, you said right away to Connor, you know, you lead people on. Like, this is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's admirable because even, you know, whether you're 13 years old or you're 26 years old, we're still telling people that to this day.
Right.
You know, don't lead people on. It's bad.
Right.
But no, it's been completely positive. And, you know, obviously people are asking me more questions about the kiss, but I think we've talked about that enough.
No such thing as enough about this kiss.
I
want to talk about it all night.
I do want to say that I did like the moment in between before they like went back and kissed. One, because they're young, and two, because I felt like the look on your face was you finally kind of settling. Because even after that first kiss, I don't know why anyone would be like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely like, I like guys, you know?
It
was
this
second time, it wasn't weird. It was the second time that it happened, and it just needed to set in, and you're like, oh my God, I like him a little bit.
I'm glad that it portrayed that way. That's what we were hoping for. So I'm glad you got that.
I was like, oh, he's crushing.
Was that Jude's first kiss as well?
I don't know that.
I don't remember.
Was there one like that we've seen like on screen yet?
I think that was his first kiss. I mean, that's the first that we've known.
Right. Yeah, because you didn't kiss and spin the bottle, right?
No.
Yeah, but they kissed in the tent.
Yeah, but that wasn't on camera.
Oh,
that wasn't
on camera.
That was with
I forgot.
Connor.
That was with Connor.
Interesting. Is it okay if we tell the theory that your mom had about why the Jude and Callie are bouncing from house to house?
If that's okay with her,
is that
okay? Yeah.
Because I think that's a really like interesting like thought that could definitely fit in the storyline.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's a very well thought out show. You'd think that she was the one writing it.
Is she? I guess it's that the reason that Jude and Callie keeps moving from house to house, we think because Callie's a troublemaker, but really it could be that they're picking up on Jude's like sexuality and they want to get rid of him because the foster system's like a hard place for gay people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that could definitely
especially if the foster people have like other children in the house, they start thinking differently. They're like, oh, I don't want that influence, or you know, for whatever reason it is, I could imagine that being like a difficult situation.
Yeah. And like very early on in season like 1A2, I think Callie mentioned something about
the dress,
in the very beginning he was caught wearing his mom's dress and his dad beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
It is. Yes.
Well, thank goodness for Steph and Lena.
Okay, so speaking of the other big kiss that happened.
Yes.
Brandon and Lou.
Lord.
Right. Okay.
My God.
She's pushy.
Stop. I just don't like
okay,
them.
Okay. Well, I don't either, but I really like seeing David like that. I was like, oh my God.
I just
like you, David. Wow.
I just like the juxtaposition between like Jude and Connor like figuring things out and like, you know, first kissing maybe in life, or not for Connor.
Right.
But, and then there's Lou and Brandon being like, okay, we're older, we're juniors and seniors in high school. And yet, do we think it's okay that he's possibly giving up the Idlewild for a girl?
No.
No, it's not okay. And you know what? Lou, let me tell you something. It made me so mad when she was kissing him and she was like, we could do this every day.
Right?
Like, how dare you use sex on an impressionable teenage boy?
I would have used that same line if I was her. I would have been like, every day, babe.
My parents would not even have the discussion. It would have been a clean no and we would have moved on.
Yeah. I was not have a boyfriend in high school, so that's why I would have had everything happen.
That's why you would have been saying that.
I don't know. Lou is trouble. And
she is.
I just have a lot of feelings.
Yeah, and then with that baseball, I was like, ugh. And last week with the drugs, I was like, go away. Nobody likes
her. Actually, and her comment, like, you think that he's watching us from heaven? And I'm like, why do you have to say it that way? God.
Jeez.
Yes, he is watching from heaven.
Yeah, so what are your feelings on the Lou-Brandon relationship? Because clearly we have very strong feelings.
I mean, a lot of people are, you know, Brandon and Callie and Brandon and Lou, and that's two big relationships that people go at. It's kind of like Callie and Wyatt and Callie and Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my feelings of being Jude kind of come into play in my personal feelings because I kind of like Brandon and Lou a little bit better.
Okay.
But Callie can't be with the family. Otherwise, it's a cluster of very confusing things.
Yeah.
So,
you just broke my heart.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, come on. He and Maya do play brother and sister.
I mean, if he goes to live with the Quinns, then I guess.
I mean, that's what's supposed to happen. I mean, I knew that was going to happen from the beginning just for that relationship to happen.
Yeah, if she goes to the Quinns, which she
will. It seems like it.
I think I really like David and Lou, or Brandon and Lou together, because I do feel like Brandon and Maya, or, Callie. will be together forever. So he needs his experiences now.
You know, Brandon is like, you know, I mean this nicely, on the square side. You know, he's uptight. She lets it go.
Which is true, and I do like it for that. But still, I'm like, can we just not drag it out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to drag it all out. Stop. I love it.
You know, though, Callie owes Jude a really big thank you, though, because he got her a car, right? Last episode.
True.
That was a great idea.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nice job.
Mm-hmm, that
I
was
want her
Jude.
Behind the scenes.
I like how he thought of that so quickly. He's like, well, he'll buy you a car.
But you know she's going to run away if she gets that car.
She's gotta going to go chase to. After her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She's going to go visit Wyatt.
Big thank you.
It's okay. You can take the bus.
It's going to happen.
You've done it before.
Find him again. Yeah, right?
I know.
Several
When you
buses.
Took that bus, I was so nervous. Like, my motherly side was coming, and I was like, oh my god, if Steph and Lena knew, they would kill him.
I'd be so worried. Like, where would he go?
Jeez.
I couldn't imagine taking a bus and going from so many places at such a young age to talk to someone.
And in San Diego, there's like no public transportation there, so like, the little that there is, it's...
Crazy?
It's uncomfortable.
So another fan tweet, Allegra C, said, I only like Brandon and Lou when it comes to music. And I think we can all agree with that.
I agree with that.
I do.
Okay, so if Brandon ends up going to Idlewild, the arts camp, which I think he's best suited for as the adult, what is he going to do with this money that he just got selling the baseball?
Save it.
Oh, okay.
I have nothing.
I just feel like, I don't
he
know.
He can use it for himself later, his after school, for college, music programs.
I just feel like the writer is giving a teenager, like, $1,500. Like, if he doesn't use it for the tour, like, it will be used for something within the mix of the show.
He's going to give it to Anna.
Well, that's possible.
Gosh, dang it, Brandon. Stop giving money to Anna. We established this already.
Jeez. No, I don't know. Maybe he'll give it back to Mike, because Mike bought it, so.
Maybe. He might do something nice for someone.
Or Callie.
I know, they're going to go on the show, and he's just going to have an awesome tour. He's going to blow all that money away.
I do think
Lou's going to steal it for drugs.
Lou?
Figured it out.
Stop.
Gosh dang.
Well, she really may take that money.
You're weaving a tangled web right now.
Okay. Hey, but while we wrap Anna, if they keep talking about the baby, it keeps being brought up, do you think they're going to change their mind? Or are they going to introduce this baby into the Foster's family?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I get what you mean, because they do keep bringing it up and tossing up the idea, almost like they haven't turned it down yet when they bring it up to other people. And I'm like, wait, I thought we decided you were not going to take that baby.
Yeah.
But is that not happening?
Well, I think this episode, too, they used Monty as a really nice sort of like buffer to things, mm-hmm. because Monty actually came out and said that she suffered a miscarriage. And if she was in a similar situation to Lena, she actually probably wouldn't be ready to adopt a baby either. So I think that scene was pretty telling. And also the fact of just their honesty in that scene back and forth. I just don't see how it would work out.
Right.
And Mariana will deal.
That scene made it understandable for us why, okay, yeah, she's grieving, fine.
It was a good reminder because I kind of had forgot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize also she was 5 months along.
Actually, neither. When she said that, that was pretty heartbreaking because...
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that there's still time to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
If Steph and Lena didn't take the baby, who do you think would?
Mike, duh.
I think...
Do you think Anna would let her? Or let him?
The only way I would see Mike doing it is because I know that he wishes he had another shot with Brandon after the divorce and everything. But, I mean, dang, to take on a kid yourself and a girl at that?
Well, the thing is, as we saw, Anna stormed out of Mike's place because she felt smothered the last episode.
Right.
So although I would love to see Mike, you know, get his second shot at fatherhood, I just think that he was reaching when Brandon is actually making an effort. And we saw that this episode, which I loved.
I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've seen him sort of, he really wanted advice. And Mike gave it to him and then took it a step further and actually bought the baseball. So I think Mike will be okay. I think when Brandon said last episode, you know, you run to, you know, me to sort of complain and I feel overwhelmed, I think that's going to dissipate.
Yeah, I feel like they've already kind of worked that out just in that moment.
Yeah.
But I want Anna to keep the baby.
Yeah.
I really do.
Totally possible. Maybe someone else will take the baby.
Like Robert Quinn. No, I'm kidding.
Stop it.
Okay, here's the thing.
I have to get some kind of, like, I gotta tease people.
Don't put
a little
ideas
bit.
In
just
oh my
kind of give it to you.
Daphne took the baby.
Okay.
Stop. Everybody stop.
No, seriously. What if Daphne took the baby?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of what.
I don't
else?
Know. I'm trying to think of other characters.
Stop that saying yes. Have... You're egging it on.
The way she'd have, you know, like a child if Tasha went to live with
that lady who would want to punch that foster mom in the face.
That was an intense scene.
It was.
That was an intense
scene. Oh, man. I just think that when you're a single mother, like, raising a baby on your own, like, mm-hmm. that first, like, 3 weeks when the baby's new, like, when you don't have any other help, like, that's impossible.
What is the syndrome called where they hate their
child? Postpartum depression.
Okay, I feel like that's what would happen to Anna.
And well, with no other help.
Yeah, well, because she's going to be frustrated. Like she's going to be reminded of her twins. She's going to be reminded of her drugs. She's going to be reminded of the fact that she can't get high. She's going to be miserable. She's going to be tired. I don't...
No, I
they
think
really should get that baby away from her.
Stop it. I think they're all going to help her. It'll be one big, happy, crazy, extended family.
Well, Hannah, we only have a few more episodes.
Listen,
of this
I'm
season.
Trying to build the family. I want Robert Quinn in it. I want Anna in it.
Just everyone to come together and
yes.
be happy with one another.
What a really
Callie,
long Thanksgiving
if Callie
table.
Callie goes home with Robert Quinn, and Jesus goes to boarding school. Brandon's going to college soon. It's just Mariana and Jude.
Jude.
And
your
new sister.
Yeah, right.
And I can see that.
Another one.
I can see that because I kind of saw the second that Monty made it okay for Lena not to want to have the baby. I feel like it's one of those things where Lena's like, no, but that's maybe won't want to identify with it, but happy that someone understood and then be like, no, we can take the baby. I think she just wanted someone to think of her and she got it now.
Yeah.
So I could see her wanting to have the baby.
Yeah.
Aww.
So I'm curious about Johnner.
No, does it make sense?
No, it did. Okay. I'm just saying more? No because I don't want it.
Oh, I'm not done with Johnner.
Okay, I'm like, you're more curious about Johnner?
So here's the thing. They've been, like, exploring, like, I don't, how can I phrase this? They've been, they kissed. They've been, like, figuring out, like, their sexualities, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And it's been, like, a very private thing in between the two of them. I'm curious if that storyline's going to expand through to the school and if other people will start finding out about it.
'Tis true.
I can see that because even their person, they're getting older. Like, you were saying that the statistic is that when you come out younger, like in school, that you have a better time with it later?
Yeah, it's just like you have an easier transition when you come out. I was reading a GLAAD article actually talking about Hayden and just how it's sort of, it was like such a big moment on TV last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, you know, it's great to see a younger character doing this because you do have an easier transition
mm-hmm.
when you come out in high school. At least that's what the article said.
Well, I can see that being that the situation for them. I think they'll be teased, but it's also you know, 2015, and at this point we're like, we've seen it before. There's not a lot that we haven't seen. So yeah. I think it's good for people to finally transition, and that's why it's been so good on the show, because even for our schools now, at least for those like in the Midwest or wherever you don't see it, can finally see it and be comfortable
yeah,
with that.
That's true.
And I think it's good too, because like, you don't just need to see it once. You need to see it repeatedly.
You do. Like, to know that it's a norm, to know that it's comfortable, to see that you did it and look, it did nothing to you off the camera or on the camera.
Right.
That's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I just think about too, like last season, like Cole, who's transgender, like how many transgender characters are there on TV? Not many at all. So like, just like raising the visibility to like, let you know, when you're young and you're watching TV, you look for yourself, and if you don't see yourself you like get confused, and if you repeatedly don't see yourself, then like you get like depressed.
Right. That's why I love that. Honestly, I feel like if I was like maybe in middle school or in high school and I saw that, I don't think I would have been like freaked out by it almost. So I just, it's awesome that it's finally here, because people do need to see it. Had I seen it when I was younger, then maybe it would have been more accepting, because I think that I kind of wasn't, you know, it was very weird for me.
And like, gay youth are disproportionately on the street, which this talks about in the foster care a lot, and like trans youth, like it's like 2/3 higher. It's incredible. And then the suicide rates from there.
Right.
So that's a downer note, but it's like, it's
no, it's
real.
Important. No, it's really important. And it's just good.
This is so cool for you. It really is.
It's incredible. It's wonderful to be such a part of this. And it's crazy because you're right. I mean, the suicide rates for teens who are LGBTQ are so much higher, and the rate for suicide for people who are in the foster care system are so much higher. So to stack those two together and then have them feel like they're wrong, it's crazy to do. It's crazy to think that you would want to make another human being feel as if that their life is not as equal to yours, to feel like they're not important, to feel like their sexuality or their sexual preference is wrong, that they chose what they want to be. It's crazy to think that someone gets joy or likes to do that. It's not right, and it's something that I think that this show will hopefully put an end to, or at least start to trigger more, you know, like have a domino effect where more shows will show this, more people will become accepting.
Absolutely. And to the point where it's not even a big deal anymore.
I also
think that Jude knows himself. Like,
yes, exactly.
I don't necessarily feel the same way about Connor just because of the pressure that his father puts on him. But when you sort of get into character, you know, I feel like what you're portraying is that you're secure in what you're about. Do you feel that way, or do you still feel like that he's wavering a little bit?
I think that Jude knows what he likes. I think that he is, you know, still kind of confused because, you know, he doesn't know how Connor feels.
Right.
But I think that Jude knows himself, and I think that Jude is happy with himself.
I love Jude because I think that what it is that you understand why he wouldn't. As much as you're accepting of it, you're like, no, and I think that's for a lot of, specifically, like, you know, gay men, you would never put anyone out because they know how serious that is. Sometimes life or death situations back in the day, but it's just kind of an understanding, like, I'm not trying to push it, but that's why you said, stop leading her on then. Just don't do things that are dishonest, but you don't have to come out also. So that's really important. Also, I wanted to say, I hope that a lot of people see this after show, because it's also very important to see that you are still young and to see how confident you are off camera.
Yeah.
And to show that, look, it's all right. Like, I'm used to your, you know, that and may not be my sexual preference, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Like, it's not something that's to be scared of. Like, I'm straight and I'm perfectly fine with playing a gay kid on TV. You know, someone who has had those experiences and who feels that way, and that's not a weird or scary thing.
Yeah. That's so great.
And like, the coming out process can be very dramatic, and it's like often dramatized. So it's nice to see like almost like a lighthearted take on it.
Yes.
You know, like a character who is like very happy with himself and
dual supportive parents.
I think this is a very California way of dealing with it, right? Because, you know, it almost always starts here where it's light. You have the freedom to make choices and to experience.
Well, I think we get to see both side of things with this show. You know, like, we can't forget Connor's dad. I mean, it's even Lena said, you know, well, so just because Jude said he was straight, Connor's dad is okay with it? You know, like, I mean, you know, Steph and Lena know.
Exactly, of course.
Like, they have an understanding of, at least, you know, Jude is still discovering things.
Right.
And
because they know themselves, and they're in, you know?
I mean, it's just, you know, it's hard because it's nice that they show both sides.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Not everything is easy and peachy, and a lot of people's coming out stories are not as, you know, sort of
well supported.
Supported by family.
Exactly.
I'm excited to see how they let it unfold from here, like with the school and with the family and his dad, just with everything, with everyone, how it like ripples out with everybody's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. I think it'll be cool. Are you guys really excited for that?
We are very excited. There's a lot of great stuff, even in these just next couple episodes, that is very cool and very crazy. And to wait for these things to come up, like, you know what's going to happen and you know how people are going to react.
Yeah.
The excitement of waiting for that moment to be there and for waiting people to see it is very cool.
That's awesome.
Our show's so good. Every time I watch it by myself too, if an engineer comes in or something and everyone always looks back to see what's going on, I'm like, it sounds great, doesn't it? It's because it's so dramatic.
It's
like
a good show.
The music, I'm like, I know, but keep watching.
What?
No, I was saying, like, you just invite people to come watch it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you can come back whenever you want.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, every headline I see is like, ABC Family continues to push boundaries.
And they do. Yeah. All of the shows have been killing it recently with the boundaries they've been pushing.
And another storyline is the Kiara.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's so difficult to watch, that all these girls who left Girls United, a lot of them are not doing well.
Right. Oh, yeah. And but look where their heads can go. She was fine, and then someone buys her a necklace.
Oh, she had that line, though. No one has ever bought me nice
things.
It's heartbreaking.
It's so crushing.
And she knows that he's a pimp. She's not dumb. You heard how she speaks. She's street smart. She knows exactly the situation that she's in. But she just wanted, nice things. She wanted shoes. You know, like,
how important. She wanted to feel special.
She wanted to feel special.
Loved. Absolutely. Like, someone cared about her. Like, she wasn't just trash or something else.
And he's a player. And what do players do? They make you feel special. So it's just, it's horrible. And then for, like she said, when she spit on Rita,
oh my gosh,
that's my point. Like, your mind has to be somewhere else, because that is the most insulting thing to do to someone.
Well, she was aware too, like, after she spit on her, you could see Kiara's face, like, know what she had done.
Her heart dropped.
How
can I come back from this?
Exactly. Yes, it was so hard to watch.
I'm just worried now that the pimp, the other guy that, like, the she was going to meet, and then the police came, he spit off, that he's gonna want revenge.
He's
or
gonna
something.
Come on some thug
you
stuff.
Two over there having your predictions over that pimp. I was like, stop.
That's gonna be dangerous.
The return of James.
His name's James.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's how they earn that money. Which, by the way, fun fact, El Cajon Boulevard, that all exists right there.
Wait, Al Capone?
El Cajon.
El Cajon.
El Cajon.
El Cajon.
They didn't say Boulevard, and I think that they couldn't for the sake of the show, but it's El Cajon Boulevard.
And it's really bad area?
It's a very bad area. Shout out to Poke Out. That's where the homies used to
live. What?
It is hood over there. Like, I had to, I just remember
having
to. You
just got so street on us.
I did.
Changed. Someone new came in.
I just want to be a little professional for all of you. But it is. It's a bad area. I mean, I remember having to be careful and, like, where I parked my car, and then my friends, you know, just being a little bit protective, or the fact that I'd be like, no, I'm good. They're like, no, do you see what you look like? You're not good. Stop.
Yeah.
Or people, because I would have been like, hi, how's it going? And it's like five hookers walking, like, you know?
Okay. You needed a Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
Rita and her tribal prince saves the day.
Yeah, it's just so sad, because that just 100% happens, and that's so scary to think of. By the way, when she spit on Rita's face, it's because she was so scared, because she knew something bad had happened.
Can we talk about Rita's emotions in this episode? Because I was crying, Hannah was crying, Steph was crying, Hayden's mom was crying.
All over.
Michelle was,
I wanted to cry, but I have no heart.
Michelle was crying for the third time.
Okay, Tin Man.
He's ice cold. He's ice cold. No, but seriously, like, honestly, you know what it brought me back to? And I think we've mentioned this before, but, like, it brought me back to Harriet the Spy a little bit.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, my gosh, I love that.
When she played Michelle Trachtenberg's nanny in Harriet the Spy. Wait, have you seen Harriet the Spy, the Nickelodeon one?
Watch it.
Oh, my gosh.
Watch it.
No, that came out on VHS. You definitely didn't
see it. You and I are too young for you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, it was so good. But the emotions, I was like, Rosie, you're killing
it. Right?
People underestimate her acting.
They do.
A League of Her Own.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love
The Flintstones.
She's been on Broadway, too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Grease.
I'm about to go
on
home.
Broadway.
I was going to say, she wasn't in that movie. I think you just made that up.
No, she was in Seussical, too.
Was she?
Yeah.
What?
She played the Cat in the Hat. Guys, read up.
Rosie?
Her daytime talk show was, like, the highest rated ever.
Oh, remember? I forgot about that.
I know.
She left to spend time with her family. She's a family lady.
She is Rita.
That's why she's doing the show. She's
yeah.
God, she's amazing.
The writer was like,
I believe that. I want to meet her.
Bro, who does this remind you of? Rosie O'Donnell. Let's go.
Let's do it. It's perfect. She's so cool.
Oh my God. When did you find out you were going to be working with her? Because you've had scenes with her.
Yeah, a couple times. Very few, sadly, but I have had a couple with Rosie. I think that we all kind of figured it out at the same time. The writers were kind of like, there's this new, you know, Girls United home. Callie's going to have a story going there. And they were like, well, who's going to play this very strong character that's going to kind of be like, you know, someone who really supports Callie? Like, it's a very supportive role. And so none of us really knew. I don't know if they had it in the back of their minds and were keeping it a secret. But, like, the episode, when it came out and we all read it, it was just then decided.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. I was like getting goosebumps you saying that. I would have cried if I found out. I was like,
oh my God.
Doing something with Rosie O'Donnell.
Right. what I read was that I think it was Bradley or Peter. I think Peter, I don't remember. She emailed one of them, Peter. She emailed a creator being like, hey, I just want to let you know that I love your show, The Fosters. You know, she has like a family. She has a family. She was like, I love watching it with my kids. Thank you. And he was like, would you want to be on it?
The life of an...
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
That's how it played out. That's pretty cool.
I know, right?
Is that really what happened?
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure Peter came in all giddy and stuff. You know, Peter was smiling ear to ear. And he was so happy. He was like, just got an email from Rosie O'Donnell. She loves our show. I'm like, that's incredible. Awesome. And she's like, she's going to be on it. Like, yeah. That's even better. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Rosie.
She's so good. And she was so emotional. I can't even believe, especially when she, like, the way she fought for Kiara that way. And when she looked back that first time, like, she wanted to do something but knew she couldn't. And to still get emotional after someone spits in your face, that is just... It's a lot.
And then at the end when she like comes.
Embraced her and you don't ever do that. Like her
it
mom.
Was like, yeah, it was like mama bear.
Don't you ever feel like no one loves you. The way she grabbed her. Oh,
and then seeing how excited Callie and her were like at seeing the other girl back in the house.
That was so sweet.
Like their love and their support.
And then to see Callie get emotional out of that and be wanting to tell Terry the truth because Terry did come and or Steph did come and help out. And then she saw the love between them and was like, I have a family. Like, I don't want to leave them. This is because it was kind of like a, you know, when something emotional happens to you or your friends, everything else kind of comes out.
It's like the word vomit, but it's feel vomit.
Exactly.
Feel vomit.
There's such a connection from Girls United, which leads us to a really big plot point. Callie comes clean to Steph about wanting to live with Robert Quinn and her reasons why. Do we think that's going to change the solution? Because it seems like she's still going there.
I don't know. It stresses me out.
I think it's just so sad because I see how much Steph cares for her, but I feel awful that I still think, and not because I love Kerr Smith, I think that Callie should go with her dad.
It's because I love Kerr Smith.
No.
And Callie should go with her dad just because of her age, because she's a girl, because she needs to be with her father. She, like, you know, I like that Robert's playing the father. I'm sorry. If you don't love me, I don't care. I love you. This is my job. Yeah. You are my blood. I'm going to take care of you.
That's nice. You know, Steph and Lena love her so much, and her brother, Jude, is there.
She can't leave Jude. What are you talking about?
Well, Hayden, how is Jude feeling about this?
I think that, as we've seen, Jude is, you know, he's upset that his sister is going to be leaving him, that they're not going to be in the same house, but he's also understanding. You know, he's, like Callie said, he's, you know, he's been in the system, he understands. Jude understands the struggle and, you know, how long they've been waiting to finally be in a home, and the fact that Callie still isn't in one and she just wants to finally be done with it all, Jude is like, okay, but you can't leave me. Mm-hmm. You can go and live somewhere else, you can go and be with someone else, but you can't leave me. You can't leave my life. You can't walk away from me. And so, you know, she's like, okay. And so he's come to terms with her possibly going to live with her real dad, just in case if it does happen, which
might not now, but
as of now,
I know, I think it's still gonna happen.
Steph is gonna fight for it and everything.
But when Steph accused him of making Callie lie to them, that wasn't actually part of it, right? That was her reading into things.
No, that was just Robert being okay with Callie keeping it a secret. I mean, I see Steph being mad about that, but at the same time, it's like, get out of here. He's doing what you're doing. He wants to win over Callie.
Yeah.
She confided in him, so he had to, you know, show that she could.
She'll have a great family no matter what home she is in, either way.
But that's what's hard, sorry, as the viewers watching, because you know both families love her.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I think it's just better for the show if she does go live with Robert.
Oh, really?
I do. I just think progression-wise, I think it's better.
Actually, someone brought up a really great point. Kiara, she said, I like how Callie broke down to Steph and not Lena. It's nice because they talked about opening up in other episodes. So it is nice to see because, you know, the kids really tend to go to Lena all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a situational thing. You know, Steph just happened to be there, but also... You could tell that she was bottling it up and she needed to let it go.
No, I think it's because Callie and Steph have a very, very, I think they have a close relationship. The same way that Jude has that relationship with Lena.
Yeah.
That's the reason why, you know, Steph in the middle of her conversation with, emotion vomit, like you just said, got into tears with Lena because she's happy in that moment. But then what's not letting her happy is because she grew this attachment to this like beautiful girl who came into their family.
Yeah.
Right.
And because the way that Steph feels about Callie, obviously Callie's going to feel that from Steph. So that's why it hurts. And that's why she wanted to confide in her because that's who she was afraid of, you know, the authority figure.
Yeah. Anytime that Jude has a scene with Lena, Sherry Salm, she's so perfect. That's both of you together, and like her lines that she has to deliver to you, they're like supportive but not pushing, and
it's always incredible. There's some of my favorite scenes is Sherry and I whenever we're doing anything. You know, a lot of the times she's the mom who went through a lot of those struggles and sees him going through them and can really relate to those issues that she's had and the trouble that she's had ever since she was little. So it's very important and it's very special that they have that connection and that, you know, mother-son bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, speaking of connections, I did write something down that I wanted to bring up. Steph told this awesome story about how she fell in love with her best friend and then it broke her heart when the best friend didn't feel the same way. And I just felt like it was a sort of like a mirroring maybe what you're going through or what could happen in the end.
No.
That's just how I felt.
No.
It's just how
that's
I felt.
That's really, insightful.
I mean, because, you know, we didn't really need to know that anecdote. I don't think it really brought anything to Steph's character, just made me think of Jude and Connor.
That's true. We could be throwing another curveball because, you know, the Fosters loves to do that.
I mean, it had to fake
who
out
knows?
Today.
I mean, we'll find out eventually, right?
If they take Johnner and Brawley away from me, I mean, what is that? What is the show anymore?
I can see that because I can see why Jude's character would confuse a boy, you know? Because the straight boy is going to think like, oh, well, this kid's obviously has experimental feelings. So they're so curious as to how he feels that way and why he's so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then you're just awesome to get along with. It's one of those things where because of your slight feminism, why wouldn't you as a kid just be drawn to this person? It doesn't necessarily mean he wants to like be with you sexually, but like he could easily just fall in love with the person.
That's totally possible.
You know, I know plenty of guys who are best friends who have that bromance.
Yeah. But
I think Gavin and I have that off screen. We're both straight, but I think we do have a very family connection.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's almost like he's my brother. Like I could go to him if I ever needed advice or help with something. Yeah.
I love you so much. I can kiss you, bro. Like, well, that's what happened.
What happens?
Yeah, you just kiss your brothers. You don't do that.
No. I mean, like, let's say best friends though.
I think it's so cool that from the beginning too they've had the character pairing. So you guys can I think you met on the show, right?
We did.
Blue
we met
for
on
Jude.
The show.
That was love from the start. Yeah. He saw your confidence from the beginning. That's what attracted. That's how their friendship started. He's like, wow, this kid is cool. Can't stop, won't stop. That's
exactly. He was like, I gotta be friends with this guy. Exactly. He's too cool.
It's so cool. I can only imagine your all's connection off screen now from creating this relationship on screen.
It's pretty crazy. Like how we kind of knew each other and we kind of talked in the beginning. And we were kind of, you know, like, you act a little like very proper and, you know, very uptight around new people because you don't want them to think you're completely insane. And then as we kind of became better friends and started hanging out more, we just kind of showed our true colors and we're both very, very, very funny guys who are,
I love it.
You know, who like to have fun and hang out.
Speaking of true colors, I just want to mention also that I loved seeing the true colors of all the siblings. Yeah. Everyone was emotional in this episode. I love seeing Mariana be butthurt about Callie leaving and upset about it the way she should have been. To see Mariana and Jesus have that relationship mm-hmm. and be upset about it, it's fine. I mean, not that I guess I do love the drama, but good. I want everyone to just cry for each other.
Aww. You know, I want to feel connected.
Absolutely.
So many feelings.
I know. All right, we got to segue into some predictions.
Okay. Mm.
This was a very intense preview for next week. Mm-hmm. I believe you were drinking.
No.
What?
No.
Please.
No.
Stop that. You're too young.
Not at all.
the Fosters like to fake us out. So I'm curious to see like how they're going to work that in. But that's not what I was expecting to see.
Here's some interesting thoughts just to plug into your guys' minds. Because I love doing that.
Okay.
you know, they were... in drinking alcohol, but it wasn't someone's house. So I wonder whose house it was.
I saw that did you hear the voice? Who was like, who's in here? And they were all scared.
Right?
And it dropped, and it better have not started a fire because...
It sounded like a gunshot.
Perfect. Alcohol and gunshots, that creates fire.
It could have found a bottle in the attic, open it, be like, yeah, it is alcohol, you're right. Wait, you should take a sip. Drops.
If he drops it and someone tried to shoot in defense of their house and...
They weren't at Al Capone.
Boom! Sparks...
Wait, but hold on.
We're talking about houses lighting on fire. It's like the beginning. Instead of the ambulance pulling up, it's the fire truck.
So I really have to confess, I wasn't paying attention for the preview. So, but I did see on Twitter that somebody was talking about a gunshot. So what? I think maybe it could have been a shot because a lot of the fans were like, who's gonna die?
One of the little girls are gonna die.
Is it James?
No one dies.
It's James. I kind of provoked that. I was like,
provoked the gunshot?
I was like, who got shot?
Stop.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, who died?
This I'm
like,
ain't Romeo and Juliet. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm like cracking my knuckles over here all nervous. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, I fell so hard, Hayden.
Are we falling for the mistress of Robert Quinn? Did we think that's real?
Wait, did I miss that?
It was
Callie. That was in the preview.
Wasn't it?
What? I thought I saw some like otherwise non-fatherly affection.
Wait, are you like making... I thought...
What is happening?
Oh my god, are you kidding me? Roll tape. I thought in the preview for next week, he was in a car with somebody and they were like... And there's a hug, or I thought it was a kiss, and she had brown hair, maybe it was Callie, and they
maybe
were like insinuating it was a mistress, and that's why they can't adopt her because he's a bad person, they were saying.
Stop. I was gonna say, because that's exactly what will happen if he does
it. Hold on.
I swear to God, am I wrong?
Until next week.
You can't tell us.
I wish that the
people are
fans
making things up.
Tweet me right now.
Did I misconstrue?
Tell us, let us know.
Was it Callie in the car, or was it someone that we have never met before?
I wrote Robert Quinn mistress? ?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll hypothesize about that, but what can you tell us about a little something called Hayden's Hope Totes?
Hayden's Hope Totes is something that I'm so proud to be able to finally talk about. We're still doing some construction.
Yeah.
Well, it's been kind of a thought for a long time, and we've been getting paperwork filled out and stuff like that. But it's a nonprofit organization, which actually, you know, we're in the process of making a website right now, but it raises money for us to provide, like, duffel bags to the social workers that pull kids from their houses at night.
Oh,
so a lot of times when kids are pulled from their homes, they don't have anything to take their stuff in. Their parents refuse. Like Kiara was saying, they refuse to give them their stuff. They won't let them take it, or social workers might end up having to remove it from them. So instead of them having to take some of the stuff that they have in like a trash bag or their pillowcase, something that's a little more humane and mm-hmm. a little bit nicer to have would be an actual backpack or duffel bag, which they can keep for however long
in
the foster system or whatever they're going through, however many houses they go through. It's something that they will always have with them.
Wow.
That's actually great because you know what? Kids love bags.
Yeah.
You know, they just love their cool backpacks and stuff. So it's just nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
And what's it called one more time? Hayden's Hope?
It's called Hayden's Hope Totes.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
How and when can we get these?
I know, right? I mean, we're still sitting on a website, so it's almost done, but I will be letting everyone know. I'll be blasting it all the time.
Fantastic.
All about it.
Keep your eyes out for that.
So, Jeff was right. Everyone's saying that it wasn't Callie.
Okay.
It's someone that we don't know.
Wait, what did you say? Jeff was what?
Jeff was right.
Jeff was right.
Jeff Mallory
was right. Okay, I'm going to gloat, but we got to do predictions really quickly. We're running out of time. Steph, what do you think's going to happen? Okay, Hannah, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I just still think she's going to end up with Robert Quinn. And I think we're going to see a lot of cool stuff with Johnner. And I think maybe something will get leaked to school. Maybe he'll tell Taylor. I don't know.
There was somebody a fire. All right, Jillian.
I need to know about Callie's choice. I need to know if her choice is going to stick or she stays with the Fosters. I know Steph is prepared to go toe-to-toe with Robert Quinn, so we'll see what she can dig up.
Okay, I'm just nervous about James. Hayden, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you guys for having me. Yeah. I'm so excited to
thank
be
you.
Here.
Where can everybody find you on social media and the internet?
You can find me at Hayden Byerly on Twitter, and I think it's Byerly11 on Instagram.
Cool!
Yeah.
All right, well, I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jillian Leff, on my Facebook page, Jillian Leff Official, and yeah.
Go ahead, Anna. And you all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheHotShotDude.
And you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at StephieG47. And a shout out to Emma who made our Fosters After Buzz TV fan page.
Yay!
We love you for that.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this is so much fun. We will see you next week. Good night.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.